How's it going, guys? My name is John. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is May the 6th of 2014. I have a sponsor, and right now I'm going through steps. I'm pretty nervous right now, so if I'm shaking, you know, it's kind of a product of my nervousness. But let's see, where do I begin? You know, I'm basically going to illustrate, you know, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, or what's going on right now in my life. I was born out in California, grew up in North Carolina, and moved down here to Tampa about 7 years ago this June. From a very good family. I'm from, never had any problems getting what I wanted, and, you know, they gave me every opportunity in the world to, and every chance to advance. You know, they were willing to help me out, and, I had a really, you know, they cared a lot about me, and they still do today. And very, very great family. They're in no way, shape, or form to blame on my alcoholism. I come from a very long line of alcoholics and addiction on both sides of my family, and that excludes my dad and my mom. They're both non-alcoholic, but my dad's dad died when he was 11 back in the early 60s from this thing. You know, he was drunk and fell down the stairs and broke his neck, and so my dad was, you know, raised without his dad. And my mom, you know, whole family of lawyers and realtors and stuff like that, and you know, they have the houses and they got the Benzes and the Lexuses and they got all that nice stuff that's supposed to make us happy, and they're all miserable. And several divorces, several stepkids that are also alcoholics with several divorces and several stepkids and so on, you know. And again, I don't blame that on my alcoholism today. There may be a genetic aspect associated with that, but you know, I see it as somehow I crossed that line, you know, and I believe I crossed that line the first time that I got drunk. That, brought me from being a normal drinker. I don't think that I was ever a normal drinker from the start. I remember the first time I got drunk, I was 13 years old. I was at a church party with my grandfather up in North Carolina. And, we're basically in the church singing hymns and, you know, hanging out. It was like one of those like Wednesday night, like, you know, get-togethers and, you know, hangouts. And I remember very clearly to this day, I remember going to the bathroom. And I remember on the way to the bathroom, I had passed through a little library area. And in the library area, there was, you know, refreshments and stuff. There was this big glass bowl and or big metal bowl, and it was filled with ice. And there was a lot of beers in there. And I remember, you know, always being curious about alcohol, taking sips here and there, but like always thinking in my mind, you know, like, it's going to make me feel different, you know. And later on, you know, I'd found out in AA that, like, I was never okay with who John was, point blank. You know, the alcohol, other dry goods, like, that's not my problem. What my problem is me and my perception of the world and my selfishness and self-centeredness. That's what's caused all my problems. It's not the alcohol or the drugs. That's the stuff that makes me feel good, to get me away from who I am, to somehow, you know, rocket me into some, you know, fantasy of my life that everything's going to be okay, and then my life gets worse as a result of that. But I think it's going to be okay again as long as I do that. And it just always gets worse, as they say in AA, you know. And that's my experience, that it never gets better out there, you know. So, you know, I remember, you know, getting drunk that night. You know, I remember throwing up, you know, stealing beers from my mom's fridge. And I remember, you know, actually, my aunt lived about three houses down in our subdivision in North Carolina. Her house was always open. She wasn't home. I went in there and got one of those Tampa Bay Rays size cups and filled up with red wine and drank that and came home and, you know, threw up and just caused a big scene. And I remember the next day, I'm like, you know what? I'm never going to do that again. You know, this is really bad. You know, it caused my mom disappointment. It caused me, you know, health problems, you know, for that time. And it really sucked. You know, I don't ever want to do that again. And it was a while before I got drunk again, you know, but I did it. And the same thing occurred. And so fast forward, you know, a couple years go by, you know, I'm down here in Florida now. And, you know, just you know, get into high school, got into some drugs here and there, you know, had this, I thought I was, you know, some gangster thug. And so I remember started getting into trouble, you know, around 9th, 10th grade, started getting into trouble, started going in and out of jail and juvenile detention facilities. And I went to rehab. And this was back in 2010. And I remember I went to rehab. That's where I found out about, AA, you know, and there was, I remember getting out of rehab and I came to my first meeting here about the fall of 2010, and, you know, stuck around for about 60 days and, you know, went back out. You know, I didn't come back for a couple of years day either, you know, and it was like, where, you know, I never left. You know, I remember always saying in my life, you know, for example, I'm never going to drink and drive. The night that I relapsed, you know, I remember basically blacking out, hopping in my car, cruising around town, and, you know, nothing happened, but, you know, it was very bad, you know, puking everywhere. And I'm like, I'm never going to do that again. And then I do it, you know. So fast forward a couple of years, I'm going in and out of jail now, stints of homelessness here and there. You know, and by this point, you know, my parents wanted nothing to do with me. There was still, you know, friends were out there for me. You know, when I had some money or some drugs or alcohol for us to party with, there were friends then. But, you know, when all that disappears, you know, there's nothing. You know, there's nothing really connecting us besides that stuff. And what's cool about AA is that, you know, like today, I got real friends in my life that really care about me and my well-being. And it's showing me, you know, how to care for other people and get me out of myself. Let's see, I don't really know where I'm going with this. You know, been coming out of AA for a couple of years now. You know, it gets real bad, and then I start feeling really good. You know, get a little bit healthier, get a decent job, make a little bit of money. And, like, I forget that the only reason that I had any of that stuff is because I was sober and had a higher power in my life and had people placed in my life, you know, to guide me, you know, that had been sober longer and to guide me in my decisions. And I start thinking that, you know, this is a product of John, you know, and this is something that I've done. And next thing you know, I completely forget and I'm drinking again and I'm back in the same spot. My experience is typically very quick. You know, I'm consider myself a very low bottom drunk. Not to brag about it or anything. I don't think there's anything special or different from a high bottom, you know, drunk to a low bottom drunk. But my experience is that I hit low lows. You know, I go homeless, I go broke, quit my job, get thrown out of the house. You know, I mean, we all know what happens. So basically, you know, coming around this time, you know, like, I got all those things that I said, you know, we're going to make John okay. You know, like, I got the car. I had a decent job going. You know, my parents were proud of me. You know, I was doing everything okay. You know, making a lot of good friendships in AA, which I still have today. Making some good friendships in AA, very involved. And I just started taking my will back. You know, I started thinking, you know, again, like I said, I'm forgetting that the only reason that I had any of this stuff in the first place is because I was sober and I was in AA. And, you know, start thinking that I can go live some alternative lifestyle while I'm sober. You know, I start going out to nightclubs and, you know, hanging out at strip clubs. And, you know, people, you know, would ask me, you know, John, why are you doing that? I'm like, you know what? I'm doing it all sober. You know, I'm doing it sober. I'm going there and I'm drinking Red Bull. And, you know, basically F you. You know, who are you to tell me, you know, what to do in my life? You know, it's not that, you know, you've been sober a lot longer, that you've seen people go out a lot after this, and just engage in these selfish behaviors. And then I remember the night, you know, I had a sponsee actually that, you know, was a running buddy of mine back in the day. I don't suggest, you know, anybody do that, sponsor one of their old running buddies. It didn't really work out well for me, but remember, you know, one night, you know, he picked me up and we're going to go down to the Red Door meeting down off Inter Bay. And I'm like, hey, man, your brother still deals, right? Just came off rep. I'm like, dude, we're going to go to the Amp, and your brother still deals, right? He's like, yeah. You know, just out of nowhere. I'm just like, you know what? Let's do this. And, you know, basically, in a very short time, you know, ended up, you know, throwing my life away very quick. Tried to get sober again in AA, stuck around for a little while, but, you know, I wasn't hurting bad enough, you know, and going back out. You know, I remember, you know, the night that I relapsed, I grabbed a six-pack of Heineken's, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to drink this, I'm going to feel good, and I'm going to go to sleep. And that's what I did. And then the next day, I said, you know, I'm going to go out and get wasted again, and it's going to be normal, because I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to come home, and it'll be all right. I didn't come home at all. Let's see, basically, I just stopped showing up to work. I go to... go to switch my living quarters around. I go to live in a roach infested apartment south of Gandy, you know, where I'm taken advantage of and abused mentally and physically by people that don't give a shit about me and will screw me over at all costs. Basically, I had a warrant out for my arrest for stealing my own car, which is a long story. If anyone's interested about that, get with me after the meeting. And I remember, you know, I was over at a park off Beta Bay and Bayshore where the cops caught up with me. And, you know, basically they put me in handcuffs, threw me in the back of the car, and were going to take me to jail. And for some reason the corporal rolled up and, you know, he said, you know what, let him go. This isn't, you know, too bad of a thing. You know, he had some, you know, I guess sympathy for me. And he let me out. And it was about 5:45 in the morning. You know, and by that point I just looked out to Bayshore and, you know, I was like, I can go left here and they have the 6:30 YANA meeting starting in 45 minutes and I can walk here and I can start my life over. Or I can hit a right here on Bayshore and go back to the way I was living before. And something inside of me, you know, gave me the strength to walk to that meeting. Even though I was hurting so badly and feeling so bad, it was a very hard walk to take, but I did it. And, you know, since then God has been, my higher power, God, Buddha, Allah, good energy, whatever you want to call it, has been helping me, you know, has been guiding me. My life's been good since then, you know, and had an AA member actually run into me a couple days before I got sober. And, you know, I was actually out there in the middle of Manhattan and Gandy with a sign. And I remember very clearly it said, very young, in a tough spot, need help. Or no, anything helps, God bless. And he picked me up and he took me to a detox meeting with him. And I didn't get sober a couple days after that, but that just goes to show that, you know, if it, the people in AA will come through for me, you know, and they always will. And I'll end with this, you know, someone suggested that I made a gratitude list because I was getting real caught up in myself the other night thinking, man, I'm feeling real uncomfortable. This house meeting, these people got better lives than I do. You know, why, blah, blah, blah. And my buddy's like, dude, make a gratitude list. So I got it right here on my phone. And I check that whenever I start getting in my head. And I'll pull that up right now. And, you know, kind of small, but, you know, I have food. I got a place to live with my parents again. I got a decent job where I make, an honest wage. You know, I'm sober. I got clean clothes. I got soap to wash myself with. I have a sponsor. I have a higher power in my life. I got a good family that cares about me. And, you know, I have future opportunities to do, you know, all the dreams that I really wanted to accomplish out there. You know, and I realized that all I really wanted, like I said, was to be okay with who I was. You know, and like all I was always out there looking for, it's all in here. You know, it's all in here. It's not in the outside stuff. It never kept me okay. It never saved me from ruining my life. And, you know, I got real friends in my life today, like I said. I got good meetings to go to. I got a great sponsor. And like life's going good today. And some days, the days, you know, they seem mundane and boring, but like that's when I got to get out of myself and reach out to somebody newer than me or somebody else in the program, period, just to get outside of my brain because my brain starts talking all crazy and, you know, the committee starts going. And, you know, I know if I sit in that long enough, then I'm prone to go back out and drink. You know, period. I'm going to drink if I engage in myself long enough. And really just trying to, you know, praying when I wake up, praying when I go to bed, going to a meeting, calling my sponsor, and connecting with alcoholics and reading literature. As long as I do the drill, you know, those five things every day, then for that day, you know, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to stay sober. Now, I don't know about the next day, but I know as long as I keep my head in the now and appreciate the life that I don't really deserve, that sometimes I feel like I'm entitled to, which I'm not. As long when I can take a step back, like I'm enjoying my day, and I'm realizing that like AA is not just about not drinking, like it's about developing myself as a person, and you know, trying to live by the will my higher power would have me do. Because I thought the longest time AA was about just not drinking, but there's a lot to it, and these steps get me okay with who I am, and I look forward to. And in this day sober, going to sleep and waking up in the morning and going to work. I mean, that's kind of cool for me. You know, I never thought that stuff was cool. I never thought that, you know, I was here making lemonade earlier. I'm thinking, you know, like never in my life did I think I was going to be in a Hyde Park Methodist church in the kitchen making lemonade for the meeting. But it's like, you know what? Like, I kind of enjoy this stuff today. Like, I enjoy going to meetings. I enjoy hanging out with people and it's what I need to do. I enjoy going to events, talking to new people. Like, it's something I genuinely have a passion about. And, I know as long as I keep that up, man, I'm going to be okay. And God's looking out for me, and you guys are looking out for me. And I just want to thank you guys for never giving up on me, man. Thank you.